The Pat Miller Program. From the Windows, Doors, and More Studio. Helping you get your kitchen and bath project started today. On WoWo, 1190 AM, 107.5 FM. Depend on it.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. It is the second hour of the Pat Miller Program here on this Friday. As we have told you for the last couple of days, we've heard a lot in the course of the last few years about the Uyghurs, a people that are abused, misused, and the genocide of them being done to them by the Chinese Communist government. They're also known as the Eastern Turkestan government. In fact, the Eastern Turkestan government in exile is overseen by the democratically elected, and I hasten to tell you that, the democratically elected Prime Minister Salih Hoodyar. Mr. Prime Minister, good afternoon to you, sir. Thank you very much for coming on our program.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
So this story started, all the way back in 1949, before I was around and before you were around. But when that land of the Eastern Turks was taken over, the Uyghurs, the Kazakhs, the Kyrgyz, the Uzbeks, when China came in and just basically overran them and pulled them into China and the Communist Party, that is when everything started. And the genocide, the unfair treatment of the Uyghur people has not ended from 1949 until now. But something has changed seemingly this year, and that is it looks like our government is not going to respect your government as has been done in the past. Is that right?
Yes. Well, unfortunately, it was the captive, as far as the captive nations, initially the White House last week or the week before had stated that, you know, the news reports came out that they might not be commemorating captive nations. However, upon pressure from people and organizations across the United States and across the world, they did issue a statement, but not as strong of a statement that we had hoped for.
Well, and it makes you wonder why this year the current American administration is fearful to come out with what is normally issued, which is a captive nations proclamation. They've done it since 1959, which means Eisenhower did it and Kennedy did it and Nixon did it and Johnson and Carter and Reagan. They all did it. Even Barack Obama did it. But now President Biden and his government doesn't seem fair to condemn Soviet and communist imperialism, repressions of people, and put out a proclamation saying so. Do they give you any indication to you or to anybody else why it is our government is now taking a softer stand toward China on what's going on in several places around the world, including the Uyghurs?
There's not a clear indication as far as to why, but it might have to deal with, you know, trying to improve relations, because at the current time, relations between the United States are at a very a low level since, you know, Nixon formally established relations with China back in 1972.
Right, right. Let me ask you this, because I found this kind of curious, and I'm going to be candid with you, Mr. Prime Minister. It's something I did not realize until I did some digging over the last few days in getting ready for our interview together. But the part of China that they refer to as Xinjiang, X-I-N-J-I-A-N-G, Xinjiang, that is the area that we're talking about, East Turkestan. And when they say Xinjiang, that is not necessarily a good term. I mean, you folks are highly offended by that term, when they call it Xinjiang, because it means new territory. I mean, it's almost as if until China came in and took over, you as a people didn't even really exist.
Yes, the term Xinjiang is a very offensive term. It is a colonial term that was forced upon East Turkestan after the Chinese took over East Turkestan. And we despise this term. We have been calling on governments, organizations, media, and individuals to use the correct terminology when referring to our country, which is East Turkestan. If you look at maps from 100 years ago, even maps produced by the United States government and other governments across the world, it clearly states East Turkestan and not as Xinjiang.
How difficult is it for you to be a duly elected prime minister of a people and not to be able to be with your people in your homeland? Other nations have had to do it throughout history, but it must be very disconcerting for you to try to lead your people from outside your country. This is a never-ending oppression for you, isn't it?
Unfortunately, I mean, it is very difficult. The oppression itself of our people is what's most tragic, because this has been ongoing, as you stated earlier, you know, since 1949. The colonization, the genocide of East Turkestan started with the Chinese occupation of East Turkestan. And this is why we need governments and people across the world to address the root of this, you know, governments to address the root of this issue, the genocide, which is Chinese occupation of East Turkestan. We are not able to, you know, get in touch or even connect with our people on the ground in East Turkestan. You know, calling people, just, you know, having any connection with people on the ground is a reason for them, you know, the Chinese government, to use that as an excuse to lock them up. And this is, you know, type of, you know, oppression that hasn't been seen since the days of the Holocaust.
Well, and when you say lock them up, I must tell you, Mr. Prime Minister, I was astounded to find out there are over 1,400 concentration camps and labor camps that have been built in East Turkestan and built by the Chinese government to house East Turkestanis. And not only are they housed there, but, sir, they are housed under from what I read, very oppressive conditions. That must be extremely heartbreaking for you.
Yes, and the saddest part is that the international community is not taking effective measures despite, you know, vowing never again every year in commemoration of the Holocaust. Since 2017, at least 3 million, according to the U.S. Department of Defense, and according to a Chinese government white paper from last year, some 7.8 million have been sent into what China calls vocational training and re-education, which is essentially the sick euphemism for the concentration camps. On top of that, you have people, you know, being sent to prison and being used as slave labor. Women are being sterilized, raped in these facilities. You have over 850,000 50,000 children forcibly separated from their families and put into state-run orphanages and boarding schools, which, you know, are protected or run by, you know, Chinese military patrols. There's gates, security fencing around these schools, and even the children are being forcibly assimilated into loyal Chinese citizens. Even, you know, our religious sites, our historical sites have been destroyed, and even our cemeteries. The cemeteries of our people are being destroyed as China seeks to destroy any evidence that we existed as a different nation.
Look, China is an enormously large country. They're extremely powerful, partially because of the huge numbers of people that they have within their borders. But the morality of China, in my view, and I'm speaking solely for myself, sir, the morality of China is very non-existent. They are pro-China and pro-nothing else. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm a little offended that next year that the world says they're going back to China for an Olympics game, because I think it rewards them at a time when they should be held accountable for things like this. I can't imagine what it's like for you, like just a few years ago when China had an Olympics game, to sit there and watch all the celebrating on television and the banners and the fireworks and everything, and then to know that a few thousand miles away, people are in a squalid condition. Women are being raped. Some of them are being sterilized. And it's all being done by the exact same government that's putting on those Olympics. Mr. Prime Minister, I can't bring those two visions together in my head.
Yes, I mean, this is, you know, in 1936 when Germany hosted,
right.
You know, Nazi Germany hosted the Berlin Olympics. The world at that time, you know, many of them, you know, the concentration camps had already been built by that time. But the International Olympic Committee and the international community as a whole, you know, they said that, oh, there wasn't enough evidence and so forth. However, with what's going on in East Turkestan today, there is, you know, evidence at our fingertips. We can literally go onto Google Earth and view the concentration camps with our own eyes.
Let me put a little bit of history behind this. We've only got about 2 or 3 minutes left, but you yourself, the Prime Minister, you escaped China as a political refugee. You had been a victim of China's violence against activists. Over 100 of your relatives from your family have been taken to these concentration camps just in the last 4 years. Four of them have already died there. So this is for you political. It is patriotic toward you and your country, but it's also quite personal because part of this horrible, horrible, horrible activity that's going on has even cost the blood of some of your own family. Very disappointing for you.
Absolutely. I mean, this is not the first time that we have lost, family members. Initially, when the Chinese government or the Chinese communists took over East Turkestan, they killed my great-grandfather at that time for, you know, being a capitalist, deeming him as a counter-revolutionary capitalist simply because he owned a lot of land and, you know, livestock. Over the years, many of my family members have been, you know, thrown into prison over the decades. And more recently, you know, the Chinese government has locked up almost every male in my family into these prisons and concentration camps. Even women in my family have not been spared. I had a 15-year-old cousin who was sent into a camp, a woman. And it breaks my heart to think about, you know, all the atrocities that she's going through. She was 15 when they took her in. She's 18 now, and we don't even know if she's alive. We don't know her condition, but knowing, you know, I don't even want to think about, you know, the atrocities that she's going through.
Horrible.
But yes, this is both, personal for me, but at the same time, this is not something that is just happening to me. It's happening to millions of our people. And so for us, this is a national issue, and we are trying to urge, you know, the international community to uphold their commitments to never again, to uphold their commitments to the UN Genocide Convention, and to act, you know, urgently to end this atrocities once and for all.
We've been talking to Salih Houdiar, and unfortunately, Mr. Prime Minister, the clock is my enemy here. He is the Prime Minister of the East Turkestan government in exile. Real quickly, the East Turkestan government in exile posted this statement. We urge the White House to stand in solidarity with subjugated nations by continuing to commemorate Captive Nations Week. We call on President Joe Biden to formally designate East Turkestan as a captive nation and address China's ongoing genocide of Uyghurs. Mr. Prime Minister, I think that statement says it all. We will do all we can from here to encourage people through our congressmen and our senators here in Indiana to put some undue pressure on the White House and hope that we get some more understanding and representation. For your time today, Mr. Prime Minister, thank you so very, very much for making time for us. Our thoughts and prayers are with you and your people.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
Podcasts by Federated Media.